Hello, everyone, and welcome to the third episode of That Millennial Life. What is going on? What's going on with me is I just recently got back from Hamden, Connecticut. Quinnipiac University, the university that I attended, is located there. I was there interviewing a few of my friends who were gracious enough to let me do that, so thanks to them. And yeah, it was weird. It was weird being back there in that environment that I spent 4 years of my life in, no longer being a part of it. It was weird. It felt like I should just drive to campus and attend class, but instead I had to drive home. So that was disconcerting. But I want to get right to the interview, because today on the show we have my good friend Joey Mullaney. Joey currently attends Quinnipiac University. He is a student there. He is a junior currently, and I was very gracious that he agreed to have me talk to him, because he has recently been in the midst of a lot of media attention. I don't want to talk about why too much, because we talk about it in the interview, but I want to explain a little bit so people aren't confused if they haven't heard of the story. Joey was diagnosed with a disease called Friedreich's ataxia when he was younger. Again, I don't want to talk about the details of the disease too much, because Joey talks about it in the interview, and I think that it is better hearing it from him personally. But for the purpose of the introduction, I will offer that the disease causes Joey to have to use a wheelchair or a scooter, and the average life expectancy for someone with Friedreich's ataxia is 35 years old. The reason he has been getting a lot of media attention is because of a video that was made to promote an event called Ride Ataxia, which is a bike ride to raise funds for the Friedreich's Ataxia Research Alliance, or FARA, to help in their mission to treat and cure Friedreich's ataxia. It is an event that Joey is helping to put on at Quinnipiac on October 11th at 12 p.m. If you want to help Joey's cause, go to curefa.org, and if you would like, you can click on the Connecticut option and donate to Joey's Ride Ataxia event specifically, and help in their goal to raise $50,000. And I wanted to make sure that I said that at the beginning, in case people don't listen to the entirety of the podcast, so that they still know how to donate and go ahead and do that. If they wanted to. Joey and I and everyone at Quinnipiac University involved with the event would really appreciate it. But I want to get to the interview, but before the interview, all I wanted to say going into it is I hope that what people take away, especially people my age or people around my age who may be dealing with the stress of an unknown future, and any other frustrations that can occur in people's daily lives, is that, I mean, I guess I'll just speak for myself personally, is that I sometimes can let my problems or my issues compromise my ability to progress and continue living life in a positive way. And I think that Joey and what he says in this interview should serve as an example to always look at the best in life, and to not make excuses, and to try to live life to the fullest. Here he is, Joey Mullaney. So have you become a campus celebrity because of all this media attention you've been getting?
Yeah, I mean, I'm already really cool, so hopefully everyone just likes me.
Yeah, you kind of were already a celebrity.
No. I'm definitely getting more attention now. I don't know if that's people just staring at me or people actually, like, Be like, yo, he's really
recognizing
hot.
You. He's really
he's
hot.
He's really hot. He's really buff. Like, I want to get to know that kid.
Yeah. So is it? did it like cause a stir on campus when that was happening? Because Fox did a piece.
Yeah. So Fox did a piece. They did it at my house, but the next day.
Oh, that was at your house.
Yeah. The next day, CBS did it.
CBS did one too.
Did it on campus.
Yeah. So did that cause commotion?
Yeah, that caused something. So it happened around 2:30 on a Wednesday, yeah. And went to like 3. So when kids were getting out of class, we were on the quad. So they're like, "Why are there cameras? Why are there all that?"
Yeah, I don't know.
So I mean, us being like the cool kids we are, we just embrace it. We're like, yeah.
Yeah, we're the men.
We're those kids.
Yeah. CBS is following around. So they filmed that part on campus. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It blew up. Yeah, I mean, it was so cool to see it just take off.
Yeah, one little video.
We knew it would be big, but we didn't think it would be that big.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. And it just
attract national media attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. Did Total Frat Move contact you, or did they just pick up the story?
So the first post was by the Huffington Post. And I guess my good friend here, her mom, knows the lady who wrote it, Reba Riley. So she
who knows
sent her.
Her?
Morgan Baxter's mom, Lisa Baxter, she knows Reba and sent her the video, and Reba blogged about it on the Huffington Post, so everyone's like, yo, like, that's the Huffington Post, holy shit, like, and I don't know, just...
Were you getting calls from Ariana Huffington, or no, she didn't call you up personally?
I wish, but
yeah,
if she did, it would have been a great convo.
Yeah, right? That's crazy, dude.
I know. It blew up. It's pretty cool. It's cool to see, like, it was cool to be a part of. Like, we're getting famous. Like, we're going to be on TV, all that. That was cool. But when you take a step back and realize, like, how much awareness is bringing to my disease, Friedreich's ataxia, which is extremely rare, and make it known so, like, hopefully Joe from, I don't know, Ohio has heard about it now that, I mean, being able to do that was pretty cool.
Yeah, being able to just to highlight it just that much more.
Exactly,
and get the word out there. Yeah, I was gonna ask you, because the video was initially to promote an event that you're helping to put on called Ride Ataxia.
Yes.
And do you want to explain what your connection to that is and what Farrah is? And
yeah. Ride Ataxia is Farrah's, like, main event. Farrah is a FA Research Alliance. It started around 1995, and what they do around major cities is a bike race. And in that bike race is, teams are sponsored so they can help raise money for FA Research. Right now, they're only... rides in California, Philadelphia, Orlando, and I think Chicago.
So they have a national presence.
Yeah, so Matt Blumenthal and I, last year, were like, that'd be cool if we could do a bike ride here.
And Matt Blumenthal is a kid who you
Matt Blumenthal is also a junior
student here.
Yeah, he's one of my good friends. I've known him for a while, and he actually did a bike race out in California.
So why did he do it in California?
So he lives out there. But in the spring of our freshman year, he lived in my dorm, so we were very close. So I showed him this article once that researchers are thinking of a way to find a cure. And like one way, I forget that way, but I think it was related to gene therapy. So he was like, I mean, we're friends. Like, I like bike riding. Like, let me look into this. So he looked into it, found a ride in California, only about a half hour away from him. And he started to raise money right away. And he raised, $1,000 in the first week.
Wow.
Which blew him away. He had no idea. Blew me away, too, to see all the support.
And then you started thinking, wow, we could probably do something with
this. Yeah, and then Matt was really the... engine to all this. He was like, I mean, we can easily do one here in Connecticut. So we brought the idea to a fair board member who lives about 20 minutes away. Her name is Mary Caruso.
Mm-hmm.
And with her help, Matt's in mind, we formulated a ride that would happen here. We really didn't know how it would turn out, but we knew. We met with every sorority and fraternity and sports teams we could, try to get people to come and support. So Matt and I alone met with, I think, one Sunday, we met with 8 different chapters, which started at, yeah, started at 1 and at 9, all supported it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Dude. So, I mean, do you mind explaining a little bit more to whoever's listening what Friedrich's Ataxia is?
So I say FA,
because
I can't really say Friedrich's Ataxia that well. It's such a long and confusing word.
Yeah.
Or words.
Sounds
sorry.
Like Latin.
Yeah, right? It just sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks in all forms. I mean, saying it's the worst part.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I made that up.
Doesn't that just define who you are? Okay, no. So can you explain?
Yeah, FA is a genetic disorder. There are 2 forms, early onset FA and late onset FA. Mm-hmm. Early onset means you get diagnosed at a younger age, and late means you get diagnosed when you're later.
Mm-hmm.
I have early onset, and I was diagnosed when I was 9. And it didn't affect me at all until I was about, I want to say 13.
Is when you started noticing.
Yeah. What got me is that my twin brother and I and all our friends, we all played sports on the same team. And I noticed that they were improving a lot and I was almost getting worse at sports.
They were improving, yeah.
Yeah, and that really made no sense to me.
Yep.
And then one game, my parents, my dad was the head basketball coach.
Yeah.
We had a big game. My twin played the whole game. My friends played the whole game too, but I didn't play at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, being a little baby 13-year-old I cried to my mom.
Saying, why am I not good?
Yeah, I was like, what's going on? Why is this happening? I didn't really understand what was going on. So when I got home that night, I was still upset, and my parents knew that. So my dad brought me into my playroom and told me I'd have FA.
Told you then?
Yeah,
that
so
it.
When I was diagnosed when I was 9, I had no idea.
So wait, were you diagnosed? When you say you're diagnosed when you're 9, isn't it an inherited disease?
Yep.
Did your parents know that you had it?
Yeah, they didn't know. They knew. Actually, they didn't. They knew their children would have a chance to have it, but they didn't know who would it go to.
Right.
Like I said, I'm a twin brother. I have a twin brother.
And he doesn't have it.
He doesn't have it, so it was either me or him.
Wow.
Pretty much. But what hurt me the most hearing him say I have FA was knowing that my sister had it as well.
Did you know that your sister had it?
She told everyone right away when she was diagnosed.
Right.
Because she didn't know what it would entail. But my parents didn't know either, so they thought it was fine, but they knew more about it, so they tried to keep it a secret so I could live a quote unquote normal life.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
So
what were you gonna say?
Well, do you want me to keep explaining that?
No, it's fine. I mean, yeah, what you keep?
That night sucked. I kept crying. I knew what my sister was going through because she was 5 years older, and seeing her walk the way she did and seeing kids stare at her and laugh at her it was hard to think that's going to be me in the future.
Yeah.
It really upset my twin brother. Because he knew something was up, but he didn't know it was FA.
Yeah.
My mom was upset seeing me upset. It was just a tough night in my house.
So, I mean, when your parents told you about your diagnosis, what did they say specifically? Did they just say, did they try to be optimistic? Did they give you detail about the disease was
no,
at the time?
No.
Or had you already known because of your sister?
No, I didn't. I knew some stuff, but I didn't know the signs of FA.
Yeah.
And they just told me straight up, you have it. Jesus. I mean, he might have, my dad told me, I forget how he told me. I mean, it's all blurred to me. I don't like remembering that night, but.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that's crazy. It's just interesting to me, you being at such a young age. I'm curious as to how any parents would go about telling their child that, such sensitive information. I
feel for them every day. Like, they hate seeing me and my sister like this. And,
yeah.
I mean, they're really trying to do anything they can to find a cure. I mean, just, I'm not a parent, but, I mean, if I was wanting to see my children in pain and there was nothing I could do.
Yeah.
I mean, it just sucks.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, man. Jesus. Yeah. I mean,
it's hard stuff.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. No, so after starting to deal with this disease more and being able to do... So explain what the connection was to the video that got huge. Like, what happened that day? Can you explain what that day was?
I mean, fast forward, like, I don't know.
Yeah, we're jumping all around. I want to go back to the... So, because I want to explain... Yeah. We were just talking about how you got so much media attention and how you became a celebrity. I want people to know, like, why and what the video was.
The background of the story is that... Or the video is that... When you go to Quinnipiac, it's almost a rite of passage to, like, the mountain.
The Sleeping Giant Mountain, which is a Sleeping Giant... It's a state park that's across the...
So it's right across the street from campus... You can see it from any dorm.
And every student pretty much tries to hike it. So and if you don't, you're
makes
weird.
Makes a way up there. Right. Unless
you can't.
Unless you're me.
Yeah.
I mean, my friends knew that.
And
like, I would always say, oh, I want to make it up there. And I mean, I would always say like...
You would mention to them like, oh, I'm never going to be able to do that.
I'd never straight up said I'll never be able to because...
Yeah.
I mean, never I really don't like being negative.
Yes, sir.
Or a dick. Anyway, so.
Yes, sir.
I was like, I hope I can see it one day. Not through Instagram, but through. like actually.
Through your eyes?
It. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And.
So then what happened?
So that led to. I was the last week of school last year, and John Nana, my roommate at the time, organized a Facebook event. called Get Joey at the Mountain, I think.
That's
I wasn't
so
a
funny.
Part of the group. It was all a surprise to me.
Right.
And he organized everyone to be there. I'd be there. I think it started at 7:30 in the morning.
Right.
So, I mean, he made that happen. But they told me, he told me and my other roommate, Rocco, they told me you want a breakfast buffet.
Right. You were excited for the breakfast buffet.
Yeah, so, I mean, I like,
sure,
I like pancakes, I like waffles, all that, so I was pretty amped, so, but I knew something was up when I got in the car, and instead of wearing their, like, regular clothes,
they were in, like, gym clothes.
They were wearing, like, athletic clothing, so I was like, oh, that's, someone's probably up, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but I had no idea, so... They told me to cover my eyes. They said they had a surprise for me.
Yeah.
And they drove me from campus over to the base of the park, base of the mountain. Then opened the door in my car, and I turned around and saw everyone who was helping me at the mountain. There were about 35 guys, and they all just cheered right away.
That's so
And I
awesome.
Had a huge grin on my face.
Surrounded
and I was
so the car.
Excited. Yeah.
And then did they tell you right away that they were going to just start, this is what's happening, we're going to carry you up to the top, or did you just kind of realize it?
So, I mean, we didn't really set out a plan, we all kind of knew.
Yeah.
But it was smart, so every about 30 seconds to a minute, they traded off piggyback, carrying me on their back.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, that made it easier for them. They had a good break in between, so... I mean, it really wasn't that bad. I mean, I hope I'm not like really fat. That was easy to carry.
No, you're in great shape, dude.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
So what was it? What was it? What did it feel like to be on top of the mountain, looking down at the campus that has become your home for the past few years, more than 700 feet up?
Yeah.
When less than an hour prior, you thought maybe that you would never get to not never because you never say never,
but
that
close. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely something to take in. It was definitely like shocking almost.
Yeah, taken aback.
So being able to see it not through a photo was incredible.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize how I would be if I ever got to the top. I thought maybe I'd be excited, happy, all that, which I was, but instead of showing it, it was all internal.
Mm-hmm.
So once I got up there, I was quiet and, I mean, just taking it all in, taking who was with me in, taking the view, taking the experience in, all that. So.
And then, someone brought a GoPro or a camera along, and they filmed the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they used that. They ended up making a video out of that footage to promote Ride Ataxia.
Yep, yep.
And that's when the craziness started happening.
Yep.
People started picking up the story.
Yeah.
And then now you're a campus
celebrity. Now I'm here.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to backtrack a little bit. And where were you born? Where did you grow up?
Leominster, Massachusetts. It's about a half hour outside of Worcester, Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's where you were born or where you grew up too?
I was born and raised.
Yeah,
born and raised.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved that place. I didn't go to high school in that town.
Yeah.
I went to high school at Lawrence Academy. It's about 20 minutes away in Groton, Mass.
Right.
I mean, all my best friends are from Leominster, so... Right.
And what did your parents do?
My dad did own. He sold our construction company that he started.
Right.
And my mom just chilled. My mom was a stay-at-home mom.
That's awesome.
She killed it. And now she's a substitute teacher.
World's hardest job.
Oh, yeah,
now she's
right?
a substitute teacher.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
She needed something to do when all of her kids.
Yeah, all the birds left the nest.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. And then the only siblings you had were your twin brother and then your older sister?
I have another older brother. He's 27.
Wow. Oh.
Yep.
What is he doing?
He's at grad school in Philadelphia right now.
Oh, yeah? What for?
UPenn. Business school.
Oh, that UPenn. Wow.
The Warden School, I think it's called.
That's cool.
Yeah, it makes me look bad. He's so smart.
He's a smart dude.
Yeah.
So what were some of the things you liked to do as a kid? Like what were some of the activities that you, what did you do?
Sports? We didn't have phones or anything, but
yeah.
I mean, we're not, that makes us sound like,
yeah, we that, were that's born, what we need.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, we lived in a good neighborhood, so every day really we played backyard football, basketball, baseball, whatever
mm-hmm.
felt like. That was almost just a way of life. Didn't think much of it. And fortunately, I was able to play all the sports until around high school.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so I really got a good, experience growing up.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then, so... How when your parents eventually told you about your disease
mm-hmm.
Because of that night and because of you complaining about you not doing as well as you think you could have done in sports. So after they told you, how long did it take to start noticing symptoms? What age did you start noticing and what were those?
I didn't start noticing until...
And were you able to still keep playing sports even after you knew?
No, I was forced to stop around 8th grade.
Yeah.
That was more of my decision. Maybe I could have tried when I was a freshman, but
mm-hmm.
I just knew my disease was getting worse and people were getting more competitive as we got older, so...
Yeah.
The physical wear and tear, I couldn't keep up with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you talked a little bit about how you felt after hearing the diagnosis.
Yeah.
But, being so young, were you cynical about it for a while? Did you victimize yourself because of it? Did you start looking down at yourself? Was there ever a dark period?
I don't want to say it was pitch black period, but it was a dark period.
Yeah. What were your thoughts?
Because knowing I had it, so when I was told when I was 13, so pretty much for that year, I was still happy, Joey, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, something was off.
Yep.
I just knew I had a lot coming my way. I mean, I didn't know what that was, but I knew, it would be tough.
Yeah. How has your perspective changed over the years?
Incredibly.
I want to hear all about how it's evolved and way you look at it now.
So when I was first diagnosed, I was shy. I didn't want anyone to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it started being noticeable. I still didn't want people to know, so my twin brother would often tell people for me.
Right. Oh wow.
So yeah, so I would be able to avoid the awkwardness of someone be like, "Hey, what's wrong?"
Yeah.
I mean, it still happened, but yeah, it really got to like very bad junior year of high school. The worst part was when one of my friends came up to me and was like, "Joey, what's wrong? Are you okay?" Like, after I walked like down the hall in high school. So I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm mm-hmm. fine." Then later that day, I saw my advisor, my twin, and my principal.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "We got to tell. We can't keep doing this.
You got to tell. Start telling your friends."
And they were like, "Well, do you want to get up at like our weekly assembly in front of the school and tell everyone?" And I was like, "No, I don't. I don't want to talk about it.
No, I don't want to do that." Yeah, dude.
But fortunately, my twin, my advisor, and my principal did it for me.
Oh, wow.
So at an assembly, they told everyone, like, "This is why Joey walks this way, talks like this, acts like this." And fortunately for me, I wasn't at that assembly, so I didn't have to see the reaction on people.
Yeah.
I never really spoke to anyone about that assembly.
Right.
But I know my twin cried. I know that.
And while he was telling everyone?
Yeah, while I was explaining it. And that's when I think people really, it really hit them. That's what I'm assuming. After that, high school became incredible.
Yeah, how so?
I mean, just that instilled like confidence in me that
people would be okay.
Yeah, that even though like I walk like this and do things like this, like people aren't gonna judge you from that. So I mean, that literally like no one was gonna stop me from that point. Just kept going no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the way you think about it now, like, what are your daily, do you even think about it now? What are your thoughts about it? Like,
about FA?
Yeah, about like, I mean, you're just such a generally positive person about everything now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
I mean, thinking about 13-year-old Joey to, no, I'm 21, 21-year-old Joey is incredible.
You're legal.
I started using this motorized scooter that I'm currently still using.
Yes.
When I moved to college when I was 18.
Yeah.
My oldest sister uses one and used one for college as well. So I thought maybe that would be the go-to for me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, it's done wonders for me. It gave me so much independence. Having to rely on someone to like help you walk like 10 feet is insane. Being able to go to the bathroom by yourself, do everything by yourself, it's pretty incredible. I'm thankful for it, and that just opened up so much for me. I mean, I'm always a sociable kid. I've always been, but I mean, this really helped. So, and I'm good at like avoiding awkwardness.
Yep.
So, I mean, I made great friends like right away at school, joined a fraternity, joined the student government, joined all this different stuff at school.
Yeah,
dude. Because I wanted to be involved and get to know more and more people.
I just want to say the way like you keep going and your perspective about everything is just really,
yeah.
It's because every person at times can go through tough shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And experience hardship, but your determination to overcome your hardship should serve as an example that there is no hardship too significant to overcome. You know what I'm saying?
True.
And that as long as you keep a positive attitude and focus on the whole scope of our lives, you know what I'm saying? That all that's important is that we keep moving forward.
Yeah, very true.
And I think you are, I think that's why people are drawn to you, because you're just a shining example of that. But I know you don't like to be singled out, and you shouldn't, because, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not the only one going through FA right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people that are going through the same thing, and I often say it's not it's not really me going through this, it's we. Because it's not just me and my sister in my family, it's my entire family, my entire friends. I mean, they all care and want to see this disease stop, so I mean, they're working hard too.
Dude, that's another thing, is that in this world, so many people are focused on themselves.
Yeah.
And the first thing you just said is, it's not me, it's we.
Yeah.
And I just think that that speaks to who you are. And it's just, I don't know.
It's crazy.
Your perspective, because I don't know if I ever told you this, but my grandma, my mom's mom, was hit by a car when she was 68.
Oh, wow.
When I was in fifth grade.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. I'm and sorry, she, yeah. No, well, she has actually since passed. But
because of that or no?
No.
Good. Well,
but
not good.
But, yeah. She, after she was hit by the car, she like cracked her skull and she broke her spinal cord. And she was quadriplegic after that.
Yeah.
Paralyzed from the neck down.
Yeah.
And she was confined to a wheelchair the rest of her life. That happened when she was 68, and I think she lived 10 more years with that.
Jeez.
But it's different than you, kind of. It's a different situation because it happened to her at the end of her life.
Yeah.
And she was so used to a life not like that her whole life.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring this up is because she had good days and bad days. You know what I'm saying? She had times where it was really, really hard on her, and she would victimize herself, and she would want to die. You know what I'm saying? And for a while, she didn't want to deal with it anymore. And she did her best to like continue to stay active, and she tried to walk every day. And by what I mean by walk is that she would need crutches that wrapped around her arm, and she would have to wear a gait belt that someone would have to hold on to, and then someone would have to follow behind her with her wheelchair, and she would just drag her feet slowly.
Yeah.
So she tried to do those things, and that was admirable, and things that she tried to keep bettering herself. But then it would completely change to the other side of the spectrum sometimes, where she was like, I don't want to do this anymore. But like, you are a person who keeps moving forward no matter what. But do you ever still like have days where you think about it?
And it kind of I mean, I always have days when I'm tired.
Yeah,
have a lot going on, and just don't want to deal with school and all that, and then I have days where I just don't want to deal with FA, but I know, I mean, you can bitch all you want, you can cry about it, but I mean, at the end of the day, like, you still have it, it's still with you, so, I mean, that gives you a choice whether you can just frown and not be, like, open about it, or instead be open, and I chose to be open about it, and,
right.
I mean, it's done wonders for me now, so I mean, I'm grateful every day for it. I think FA has made me a better person. I mean, that don't get me wrong, I want it gone. It sucks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it really has. It gave me a different perspective on life that not many people get. So, I mean, I'm very grateful for where I am now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I think you are a shining example of, I mean, don't you agree that the magnitude of whatever problem someone has is only defined by how the individual looks at it?
Yeah, very true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And what would you say to someone, especially someone our age, who may have had misfortune in his or her life or hardship in his or her life, that maybe someone who's just afraid for what the future holds or just feels like they're undervalued or underappreciated in life, something that's an issue like that, what would you have to say to someone who's dealing with those types of things?
I try to look at it in the question.
Because
like,
you deal with those things too.
Yeah, and that statement, like earnest statement, like it's not how you really deal with your issue going on, it's how you overcome it.
Right.
Like I understand people have like tough issues going on that are out of their control, but I mean, there's always a way to,
alleviate
look at the
it.
Good things,
yeah.
Make it better, like, try and just try your best
to overcome,
like, be happy and overcome it.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, because everyone can go through shit.
Yeah.
However, I want to talk about, you know, negative things that happen in people's lives that are on a less severe side of the spectrum, that may just be described, kind of what I was talking about before, but may just be described as like a frustrating stressor or like an inconvenience, you know, that everyone can experience. And they can experience every day throughout their daily lives. And you experience all of those things too, whether it be stressing out for a test or like something as stupid as realizing that you forgot your phone at your house when you come to campus.
Yeah.
That someone could like hang their head on for a whole day. Do you think you view those types of problems that are universal to people differently because of your disease? Yeah,
definitely.
How so?
I mean, like you said, if you leave your phone at your house, yeah, that sucks. But, I mean, it's at your house. You can't really do anything about it. That's how I look at it. And I wish more and more people did. Like, if you have an issue or situation that's out of your control, there's not a lot you can do. But instead, overcome it and try to be positive about it and try to look at, like, yeah, I lost my phone, but that doesn't mean the day's over.
Yeah.
Like, that just means, I mean, that's another issue for you, but...
Yeah, so, like, something with, like, having to study for a test and getting frustrated and like, about those things. Do you handle those things differently now? Do you handle those things differently now because of you the way because of your disease?
Or I mean,
do you view those problems differently?
No, I'm still human. I still get frustrated, but I view it as like almost like something not to get too worked up about because
in the grand scheme,
because in the big picture, like you're gonna do fine. Like the test is still gonna happen no matter what. Like just getting mad is only it. Like. I don't know, it only causes problems.
Yeah.
Should be avoided. And don't let it affect you.
Yeah,
don't
dude.
Let it stop you.
Do you think that you kind of ascribe to, and I'm not trying to say that, I'm trying to be sensitive with the way I say this.
No,
but do you think you ascribe to the mentality that, like, you've already experienced something that's bad, so nothing else can really harm you?
And
do you think that, like, because of the situation you're in, do you see as other problems as, like, not as difficult?
Yeah. I mean, I do and I don't. I know, no matter what, there are going to be difficult problems that you can't really control. But, like I said, it's all about how you deal with it and overcome it.
Right.
I mean, do I think my life has been affected by FA? 100%, obviously.
Right.
I've already gone through a lot of stuff, and I'm only 21. But, I mean, I always say it, or always think it. I don't say it too much, but I love the future. I love not knowing what's next.
Right. You're not afraid.
Yeah, like, I almost look forward to it.
That's crazy.
But, I mean, I love the present, don't get me wrong, but I love the future. I might still be in a scooter. It might get worse. That's whatever, but... I mean, it's all about how you, deal with it and try to overcome it every day.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
I know.
Because, and I'm sorry, I connect everything back to the entertainment industry because that's, as you know, that's what you do. That's what I know. But I was reading this book by, do you know who Judd Apatow is?
I don't.
He's a comedy film maker, writer, producer. He did, like, did you see Trainwreck or 40 Year Old Virgin or Knocked Up?
Yes,
He did all those. And he wrote this book where he interviewed different comedians. And you know who Stephen Colbert is?
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. He interviewed Stephen Colbert, and Stephen Colbert experienced tragedy a pretty significant tragedy when he was younger, in that his dad and two of his brothers who were closest to him in age died in a plane crash.
Yeah.
And he was, like, 10 years old. Crazy, right?
Yeah. That's and tough to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he kind of said that when that happened to him, his mom, the advice that she gave to him was... Of course, his mom could have been bitter about it, you know? But the advice that she gave to him was, you need to look at this... through the light of eternity.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, what does that mean? Like, what the hell is that? What is he? And I think what it means is look at the bigger picture and the significance of your tragedy in the grand scheme of things. And you can kind of, it kind of gave him this resilience to that everything that happened to him afterwards. Like, it wasn't that it wasn't that difficult on him because he had already experienced the worst. And I kind of like get that a little bit with what you're going through.
Yeah.
And I think that's why some people are drawn to you, is because you exude like this all is well type of, you know what I'm saying?
Good vibes.
You're good at looking at the overall importance of everything.
You're good looking.
Yes, and you're good looking. You're a stunning gentleman. But yes, you're good at looking. Good at seeing the overall importance of everything.
Yes.
But you say you still kind of can struggle with it and get caught up about worrying about your disease.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's always fear that.
But now you're just focused still on getting better. That's what the main focus is.
I mean, there is no cure to my disease, but yeah. I mean, I'll bet everything I have on it that before I die, there will be a cure.
Oh, yeah.
No, hopefully soon. Ideally soon, but I mean,
ideally not, yesterday.
Yeah. But I mean, anytime soon. Not just for me, my sister, but for everyone with FA and everyone affected by FA.
Right.
To see us be able to run and do a walk again without help, talk normally, like eat normally, I don't even know. All the stuff we do.
How do you not eat normally?
I made that up. I don't know.
Is it just hard to like sometimes?
I mean, like
everything is hard.
Like hand-eye coordination is tough. So like if you have a fork, like cutting food, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, then that's, you didn't make it up.
Yeah. Chewing and all that's fine, but
yeah. You still can taste.
Yeah, just getting the food to the mouth. Yeah.
All right, I kind of understand because I have a tremor. I have a hand tremor, but it's not.
Hard. Yeah. Dude, it's hard. Yeah, but once it gets there, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, once it gets there, it's all good. No. When you have bacon in your mouth, nothing else matters.
Oh, no. God, no. No. This makes me hungry.
Yeah, I could use some bacon.
Jesus.
And I think another thing that people look at you for that's admirable is that you decide to come to college and live here and like be independent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Were you or your family tentative about you going away to college because of your disease?
My sister is 5 years older and she went to college and did it all independent too.
Oh, so they kind of,
it's our rock school and like love it. But they were tentative about sending me here.
Oh, yeah.
Only because it's 2 hours away from my home.
Right.
It's kind of a far trip. My sister only went to school about 45 minutes away from our home.
Yeah.
So it was easy to get to and for her to come home. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
So they had your sister as like kind of a buffer. Like
yeah. So, I mean, I feel bad. She was almost like the guinea pig in all this for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I already regret saying that because I hate to
look at
her like that, but...
But your parents learned how to deal with it.
She helped me out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She's very positive as well, too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's kind of all I knew, really. Yeah. That's how I was growing up. Don't dwell on it. Look forward to it.
Right.
So, I mean, just following her... I don't want to say footsteps because we can't walk, but like scoot steps.
Scoot steps.
Yeah, if you know
wheel
what
tracks.
I mean. Yeah, wheel track.
Oh, God, dude. I fucking love you. but you didn't have to start regularly using the scooter until you came to college?
Yep. I mean, looking back now, I maybe should have used it senior year of high school, but I went to high school with my twin. I had a lot of great friends that went there that knew about FA and knew how to help me, so...
They helped you
around. Would walk arm in arm with me to almost every class, and
awesome.
We were all best friends outside of school, too, so I was always with them.
Mm-hmm.
So being in public was never really... It was hard, but having them there wasn't as hard.
Yeah.
Because they were there to help me, so I never had to worry about, like... falling if I go to the bathroom or
right.
I don't know, just dropping my plate of food. Like they were always there.
And you had that's interesting because you had such a good support system at your high school.
Yeah.
Did you at all think about how the college students would treat you
mm-hmm.
because of your disease and whether or not you would be able to have a regular experience?
Totally feared that.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately for
me... You're kind of like, I have to start over.
Yeah. With all these people. So fortunately, I came to college with my cousin and my good friend from high school. It's a girl. So I mean, we had each other right away, and I was in a scooter, obviously, so they didn't look at me like I was a weirdo, but some kids did.
Yeah.
So instead of just being weird and being the weirdo that they thought I was, I try to be social. I try to make jokes.
Yeah.
just try to have fun with it.
Yeah,
I don't
dude.
Know. If you're not having fun, like, it sucks.
Yeah, dude.
Not living.
So, I mean, once you were confined to the wheelchair or to the scooter on a more regular basis,
yeah.
I'm interested, did you realize if there were people at college or like random people or strangers that that treated you differently than when you weren't?
Yeah.
And like, how did that manifest?
I mean, I really couldn't tell in college because that was the first time I was being there, but going home, after college and going to like high school events and like our alumni events, whatever you want to call them, like and seeing those kids, it was kind of weird because they didn't know me as like Scooter Joey. They knew me as a Walking Joey. So, I mean, that was kind of weird, but once they saw me like much more comfortable, much more at ease in the scooter, I think they were happy to see what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that must be hard for them to, like, have not been around you for a while and then seeing you come back in that different state.
Yeah.
But I'm interested, what is it like, I just want your perspective on this. Do you ever get any negative vibes or, like, from people who, random people you don't know, like, any random strangers who come up to you and have to interact with you? Does anyone try to like treat you differently that pisses you off? Is there anything how random people interact with you, or do you kind of understand it now?
I mean, I understand it. Like, I am different. I am in a scooter. I'm only 21. Like, you don't see that every day, so I understand that. No, I don't get a lot, but I hate when people speak to me like I'm an idiot. Like,
right, yeah.
I'm physically disabled,
because your
not
disease
mentally.
Does not affect any cognitive function
no,
at all.
No. So,
yeah,
I mean, you can talk slow and talk like I'm dumb, but I know exactly what you're saying. Like, that doesn't happen a lot, but
rarely
it happens. The worst is going to, like, a grocery store or something, like a mall.
Right.
And I mean, people stare at me. I'm cool with that. I've learned, like, that's the way it's going to be. But I hate when other people in scooters come up to me and just assume we're friends. We have a bond. Like, I'm not trying to sound like a dick, but I don't know them.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just because you're in a scooter and so am I doesn't mean
that we're
shit.
I guess some people can, like, think like, oh, we have this commonality,
right.
Like we understand.
No, what's
but
I
it's
understand, but
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me how people would come up to you and try to speak at you like you don't know what they're saying and just assume.
Literally, I get so mad.
And it's because, and sorry if I go on a tangent here, but it's interesting. I've been thinking about this a lot, and it's interesting to me to try to figure out the reasoning as to why people do something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, why do you think that?
Why do I think?
It's just because you're different. I mean, because I mean, and I'm sorry if this is long-winded, but I want to make sure that I adequately express what I've been thinking about in a way that doesn't come off as insensitive.
No. Yeah.
But I've been thinking about identity and how people identify someone, and specifically how it connects to you, because, you know, everyone has attributes that combine to make them unique. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It makes up who they are or who he or she is. And a lot of the most present and noticeable attributes that people have aren't usually what makes them unique or makes them the totality of who they are. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so the things that you can see really isn't what makes them stand out.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at a crowd of people, there aren't many ways you can differentiate them just by looking at them, and I think people have become accustomed to that. I mean, I remember seeing a movie or like a video or a show where it was an alternate reality where everyone walked around with a sign on them, and on the sign it said something that's unique to them that you wouldn't be able to tell by just looking at them. And it's interesting to me because you kind of always do have a sign on you.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why sometimes people could get affected by that is because sometimes people are tentative about what makes other people unique. Because like, just like if you went up to someone that had a sign on them that said, I'm gay or I'm a racist, yeah, like that'd be, people would be tentative about approaching that person, yeah, because they have knowledge of something that's so intimate about that person and so personal to them that it kind of creates this barrier. But you have that, but it's fucked up because,
yeah,
what the sign on you that you have and that you go around with all the time isn't what makes up who you are. It's just a part of you. That's, but it's what people, yeah, first see. It's what, yeah, their initial,
I mean,
perception is.
Yeah, that's what.
Sorry if I, that.
No, it makes total sense.
Yeah.
Like you said, I wear a sign almost every day.
Yeah.
Or I do wear a sign, so. Just instead of being able to try to hide that sign, I embrace that sign. So
yes.
If someone, like, I don't know, is weird to me and I can tell, I just won't be friends with them. But
mm-hmm,
a lot of people understand that there's way more to me being in a scooter than, yeah, anything.
That's good. Yeah, because my next question was, I get in college, you don't think that it's created a barrier between you and other people, and and people have been able to like get to know you for who you are and realize there's more to you than just that and be able to get to know you on a deeper level and connect with you. You think people have been able to do that here in college?
Yeah, extremely well.
That's awesome.
I bet initially people were hesitant to,
yeah,
talk to me, but ever since then, I mean, people understand that I'm not afraid to talk my mind, like have a hard time with someone.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage that. I like learning about other people as well too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you said, like when you first meet people, I've noticed there's a, like, you can't tell, but people's background, people's history,
mm-hmm,
is like kind of how they view you. So if, right, someone comes up to me and talks to me like I'm an idiot, maybe that's just what they know.
Yeah.
I have a good friend here who immediately freshman year became one of my best friends, because he always helped me. We always talked. We got along very well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had similar interests, but he was there to help me no matter what. Like he tried to help me right away. But, like, some people... He helped me because I later found out his younger cousin has cerebral palsy.
Oh, yeah. And
he's in a wheelchair as well. So, that's kind of what he knows, how he's been growing up. You have to help your cousin, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so maybe he viewed his cousin as me, and
mm-hmm,
I don't know, it's pretty cool to see. Once I learned it, I was like, oh, that makes sense. But yeah, the worst, yeah, is when someone, like, overly tries to help you. That makes me so mad. Like, I get someone, you want to help me, but...
Oh, yeah. Someone, like, tries to help you too, yeah, much.
Like, legit, like, I can tie my shoes. Don't tie my shoes.
People kind of try to... People, yeah, baby you.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like
it's
that.
It's got to be fucking annoying, yeah, dude.
When people... Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. But, I mean, other than that, your college experience has been amazing, right?
Incredible, like, so, yeah, far.
Yeah.
Fortunately for me, I'm only a junior, so
yeah, you're just
here
a little bit more halfway there.
I know, it sucks.
How has your college experience helped to shape who you are and
incredibly
what your mindset is going forward?
As I said, I joined student government and a fraternity, and that helped me incredibly to mature,
mm-hmm,
and realize like there are a lot more things that go on than me or FA or someone.
Mm-hmm.
It made me view the world pretty much as, like, I cannot make it better, we can make it better.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with student government, now I'm on the executive board, so I deal with
the
student government, so I deal with the PR side of SGA, and I noticed, like, yeah, so I noticed people don't really understand what we do, so now it's not just my job, it's all of SGA's job to promote what good things we bring to this campus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just one.
So you're just trying to stay involved, yeah, and get as much out of it as,
yeah,
possible, which is awesome, which is the most, which is what all you can do.
Yeah, very true. Enjoy every day. Make it useful.
Yeah. So what are your hopes for the future, and how close are we to it? I mean, you know, I know we talked about it. How can people donate to Farah? Like, what can we do to help?
Best thing to do is raise awareness. Like, you probably didn't know what FA was before you met me.
No, I did not.
Yeah, so, I mean, if there was a way that almost everyone knew what FA was, that'd be great, because that will only lead to donations and research that will hopefully find a cure. Mm-hmm. I've heard many different things about a cure. I heard it would be cured 2 years ago. I heard it'd be cured within 10 years, so I really don't know. I don't know much about the science, like the treatments part, but I mean, hopefully in the future I'll be able to run again.
Yes, yeah, son.
That'd be dope. It'd be dope.
We all hope that. So what is the, is there an amount that is the goal for the event?
We're trying to raise 50 grand. And right now we're nowhere near that, but we're getting there. We're around 12 grand.
Wow, that's good though.
Yeah.
And when is the event?
October 11th, Sunday, October 11th at Quinnipiac University at 12 a.m.
Yeah.
12 p.m.
12 p.m. noon.
Yeah.
So people can donate through that and just go to Farah.
Yep. Or Farah.com to
F-A-R-A.
Donate. We have a bunch of donation links you can see on the website, so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless you have trouble seeing, you'll be able to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if we do find a cure, if we get a cure and you're able to run again, what are some of your other goals besides being able to run again? What are your hopes for the future?
I mean,
do you have any? Or are you so focused on this right now?
I'm so focused on this, but I've thought of some things in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that life's a mystery almost, so you maybe have an idea on what's going to happen, but you never truly know until it happens.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, I've thought of goals. I would run again. I'd be crazy and cheap. I love working out, so.
Yeah, dude, whenever I was at the gym last year, you were still doing the grind.
Yeah,
you're still working out.
I go to
out.
The gym a lot,
you have a personal, you have an assistant, Scott Walker.
Yep.
Who helps you out.
Yes,
And that's just another thing that's crazy about you.
It's more focused on like rehabilitation
and
stuff.
Core strength, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, I like
looking shredded.
Looking buff for the girls, so. Yeah.
That's
awesome. Do it all there, yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Well, Joseph, my friend, thank you very much for doing this with me.
Thank you as well,
Joseph. You are the
man.
Two Josephs just sitting talking to each other. I'm glad we got to catch up.
I know, for real.
And
miss you.
I miss you too.
Seeing
dude.
You every day.
Right?
Come back to college.
Oh, dude, it's so weird being here, not being a part of it.
You are though.
We will be forever.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, I just want to say I love you.
Love you more.
You are you're an inspiration.
Thank you for having me on. Definitely appreciate this. So whoever's listening, what's up? Feel free to reach out to me, but thank you once again, Joe, for interviewing me.
Oh,
I really
dude.
Appreciate this. As you know, I look up to you.
Oh,
so,
dude, shut up.
I mean, this is pretty cool what
and
you
I
got
too.
Going on. I hope it takes off.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. All right. The right person hears about this.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks, buddy.
That was dope.
Okay, everybody, that is our show. Thank you very much for listening, and thanks to Joey for letting me interview you and for providing your story and for highlighting Friedrich's ataxia that much more, and for helping lead in the effort to find a cure for Friedrich's ataxia. So yeah, if you would like to donate, you can go to curefa.org. And yes, it is very much appreciated. So that's the show. That is the episode. Stay tuned for the fourth one. All right, everybody. So long.